Welcome to the Moonalogue Sessions by Quirky Voices. We're excited to share with you today some monologues inspired by the moon landings of 50 years ago today. And none of this program would be possible without the amazing Patreons for Quirky Voices. So, Alma, Artist Soapbox, Audio Oblivious Productions, Chan Bramwell, Christine, Hazel, Kareem, Karen, Kirsty, Matthew, Michael, Paul, and William. This is for you. For you are legend. Enjoy. Oh, and this awesome music is by Kalo Zahn. Also legend. Enjoy!
Spiral arm of sharing winning audio monologues from those who entered and won their words a place on a rocket ship to the moon.
Oh, the moon. The moon. Such beauty, such craters. Some say it drives us crazy, but some of us were crazy to begin with, sure.
I'm your narrator, Brett. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Anyway, to the rocket ship.
We join our intrepid heroines, Tanya and Sarah, having a bit of a chat and eating chocolate bravely, oh so bravely. And they're on their way to the moon for some well-earned rest and peace from the lawnmowers and generous plane and traffic and general hubbub.
Having built their rocket ship out of old tech and audio plugins and
nightstands and
pop shields, and with the rocket's every movement fueled by the speaking of words, they must speak or else use the speech of others to realize their dream of becoming...
The first females on the moony lunar surface ever!
Woo! Loony surface, more like. Brett, you have got an awesome narrator voice. Do you know that?
Oh, thank you very much. Bye.
He mooned me. Cheek. Well, cheeks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Screen off.
Bye.
You're a terrible flirt, Sarah. Just saying.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think I might put that on my CV.
Oh my
but
god.
It's not flirting. It's just being nice. Yeah?
Uh-huh. Yep. So, here we are, Sarah. You and me, orbiting the Earth, fueled by 14 slices of moon writings, written to celebrate the moon landings that happened 50 years ago today. Wow. How old were you then?
Yeah, I was a twinkle in my ma and pa's eye, thank you very much. Although, my husband's 50 this year, too. So, October. Happy birthday to my Mayan. Happy birthday to...
No, don't sing, Sarah.
I bought my ukulele.
Ah, great. More fuel.
Right, don't throw it in the... to your hand. Your hand tasted like cheesy cookies.
Nice.
Well, I should text him if I'm going to be away for a few days. But before we lose the signal.
Who?
I forgot.
Sarah, you're much more drunk, Helen, in real life than I thought you were.
Oh, thank you.
It's a compliment. Don't worry.
Yeah, I would drink to that, but you won't open the bar yet.
Not till we're closer. We need to name it first, anyway.
Okay, well. I name this bar.
You name this bar Space Bar?
Yes.
Oh my god. Not sure I'm going to last 3 days with you like this.
Oh, come on. We have a lovely time. We're slowing down. You need some fuel. I think you should read the first one. Get the fuel really burning with the first monologue of joy.
Me?
Yeah. Well, who else am I going to ask?
Naboo? The Boo Bear?
Your dog. No, lovely, but I can't believe you bought him. I mean, where's he going to do a...
How's about my mascot, Mr. Twinkletoes? Hello, Mr. Twinkletoes.
Hello, Tanya. How can I help you?
By not saying another word for the moment, because you are quite creepy. And I don't know why I actually brought you.
No. No, he's very creepy, Tanya.
Thank you. I like being creepy. I get more creepy if I am ignored.
Yeah. I suppose we could ask him to. Actually, no, just put him away somewhere. Strange staring eyes on that hairy robot thing. Do you really have him in your cot when you were little? Just staring and hairy and...
Uh-huh.
I give the best cuddles.
Oh, my God. It's creepy. Okay, Twinkle Toes. Shh. But, yeah, Tanya, you go on. You start before we lose the light completely to venture on to the dark side of the moon.
I love that album. Okay, well, here goes something. Moon by Haydee Davis. Narrated by Tanya Milevich. I walk along a long, lonely, dark alleyway. My senses are alive. I'm a little bit scared. Two attacks in my past flitter across my mind like phantoms. Was that a noise behind me? I spin around. Nothing. No one. Just the dark. Dead. Silent night. I return to my journey. I look to the sky. Dark clouds, barely discernible from the starless dark sky, float across my view, making me feel a pang of vertigo. I look straight ahead, shaking off the feelings of dread and sickness. Up ahead, I suddenly see a gleam of light. A narrow, silvery beam cutting across the alleyway, about 100 yards ahead, illuminating the rough ground. Part of the bare, rotting fence on one side, and tangled undergrowth on the other. The monochrome view that greets me, albeit a welcome change from the cloying dark, is nevertheless unsettling. And I hear my breath catch in the back of my throat. My pace slows as my heart rate quickens noticeably, and once again, I look behind me. This time, a shadow of a figure is barely visible in the distance, no more than a slightly darker part of the surrounding view. But there is no doubt that someone is there, following me. Suddenly, the luminescence that was confined to a single ray envelops me, and I look up to see a gigantic full moon above me. It seems to have banished the clouds that once obscured it, and its cold light flows over me. I look back to the shadow of the figure following me, and with a deep, guttural, vulpine growl, start to run towards it.
Whoa, get off me, you werewolf wannabe. If you don't mind me saying, you do need a shave.
Charming.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Whoa, I thought you put him away.
Did you know you've got one long hair coming out of your chin?
Yeah, of course. It's for good luck. Yeah, you'll get one when you're my age. You never know when you might need a long hair. So, ow! Twinkle Toes pulled out my hair.
Gross. God, that's long.
How did you do that? Creepy robot. Well, yeah, that is long, though. It's a bit weird. I'm changing the hairy subject. Do you think the moon landings ever happened?
I don't know. I mean, the stuff we saw on TV really kind of leads me to believe that it's true, but why haven't we advanced since then? Why aren't we going to Mars? And, you know, and I don't mean rover. I mean, like, why aren't people settling on a different planet by now? But I don't know. I mean, it was pretty realistic and money didn't go into it, I guess. Not enough money since the space race, so I mean, that could be why. I don't know. I guess my short answer is, I don't really know. I hope so.
Well, see, I found this groovy monologue from James Powell, the infamous American screenwriter. You know the fella? Anyways, Have a listen to this.
The Apollo Moon Landing franchise that never was. My name is James Pell, and I'm the uncredited screenwriter for the 1969 summer blockbuster, The Moon Landing. People talk about Stanley Kubrick's brilliant vision like, I didn't write out the step-by-step instructions. he did manage to find some ways to put his personal stamp on it. The script, my script, called for a shot of a still, unmoving American flag, but, Kubrick thought the imagery of a blowing flag would make for a much more pro-American apple pie shot, as he called it. So that's how we ended up with that ridiculousness. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Remember that, little gem? all me. Well, that's, it's not entirely true. I will say that Neil Armstrong and I worked together on crafting his famous line, but if I am truly being honest with myself and with you, then I should probably admit that I did about, 85% of the work in Neil's, 10%. A member of Craft Services came up with the one giant leap bit, so they get about, we'll say 5%. Before that, we were considering a hop, skip, and a jump for mankind, or a bunny hop for all of humankind, or something. I really felt that we should feature the word hop, because at the time, the public was really latching on to the zeitgeist of all the songs and popular culture that had featured the word hop or had a bunny in it. And at the time when we were first conceptualizing it, we were awfully close to Easter for our release date, and I thought maybe we would make it in time. So putting an Easter Bunny reference in there would have probably been ideal. I've grown to accept it and appreciate it for what it is, regardless of its banality. Neil f***ed up his lines anyway. The man was a terrible, terrible improver, but you know what they say about actors and astronauts. it's pretty funny what they say. So once I turned in the final draft, I lost, all creative control over the project, which is, cry me a river, because that's the story of every amazing screenwriter. A man in black, in a black suit, gave me a check for $35,000 and then drove away in a black Cadillac, which at the time, $35,000, I was over the moon, so to speak. Right away, I went and bought myself a black suit and a Buick. I couldn't afford a Cadillac yet, but it was coming soon. I could feel it. At the time, I thought I'd finally made it. I envisioned the moon landing as an epic trilogy. Eventually, we'd be able to spin it off into an entire cinematic universe. A shared universe, if you will. I already started writing a sequel. See, Neil is dead, and Buzz, along with an overwhelmed rookie astronaut for a partner, is forced to travel back to the moon in 1971 to find out why. Why what, you ask? Ha! That's what everyone else was asking at the time. But the third was going to be something bigger, something to do with lunar land rights and colonial disputes. I wanted to get into the politics of colonization and stuff like that. Important things of the time. But I hadn't written it out yet. I didn't want to get ahead of myself, but I had a lot of notes. I watched in awe on July 20, 1969. Not at the television screen, but at all the faces enraptured by our art. No one watching the moon landing that night would ever be the same again. Pleased with our opening night success, I sat back and I waited for their call. I just stared at the phone. I would sit there at my recliner with a whiskey in hand and a cigarette pressed between my lips, just squeezing the life out of it with it, waiting. I planned to play a little hardball during negotiations. The first film was a hit, and that meant I had some leverage now. Wasn't about to squander the opportunity. But, that call never came. The studio decided to hire a new team of writers and proceeded to churn out five, count them five, subpar sequels in 3 years. Apollo 12, Apollo 14, and Apollo 17 were major flops and largely ignored by the general public. By 1973, it was clear that the American people were bored with the moon, and the plug was officially pulled on the moon landing franchise. They ruined it. We could have had it all. Could have had it all. Recently, I've heard the Space Force rumors, and with what they're planning to do now, they know it's going to take a real creative genius to pull it off. If my phone rings, if my country needs me again, yeah, I will. I'll answer that call. God bless America. Peace!
Well, that's food for thought. Could Space Force be real? I wonder if they have cool uniforms.
Oh, I'd love to be in Space Force. Like, vocally, not actually. I'd probably be a bit sick. I mean, I haven't done many space things lately, have you? Voiced, I mean. A bit of girl in space, Marsfall, Astral Queen.
I've done a few. Marsfall, Vast, Edict Zero, Star Trek Outpost. So, wait, why are we going to the moon again?
We are going to the moon to be the first all-female...
And Twinkle.
Twinkle Toes.
Oh my God, where'd he come from? And Twinkle Toes.
Pooh Bear. And Naboo. Oh,
first all-female and Twinkle Toes and Naboo.
And your freshly plucked, inhumanly long, lucky chin hair.
And my freshly plucked, inhumanly long, lucky chin hair rocket mission to land on the moon, innit? Yeah. Yes, this is a sharing of live recording of people's winning monologues sent to Quirky Voices and performed all the way up here in space. Yeah, no effect there, no. Beamed across this wondrous universe for literature, for art, for adventure. And hello, if you're listening.
Hi!
It's me, Sarah.
Hello!
And that's Tanya. So yeah, listener, probably just this my mum and dad. If you go outside and take a look up from wherever you are, but don't let that front door close on you again, because, you know, the problems it caused last time. So just go on out. Oh, out you go. Right now. Go on. We can wait a bit, can't we, Tanya? Just
a bit, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so go outside, even if it's like 4 a.m, and just try not to wake everyone, though, and just go out and look up. And you might just spot us orbiting the planet, doing thousands of miles per hour above your heads, and just breathe in the Earth's air. Stop. And properly look, okay? Just take a moment to take in the vast sky of stars, more vast in numbers than any brain could ever properly understand. It's pinpricks of light travelling light years to your eyes while I'm talking about it to your ears. It's amazing. And whilst you're there, just have a little wonder, like I am now, as I stare out of our makeshift rocket window down on Earth and beyond, and wonder, is there anyone staring back at us other than, oh my God, Twinkle Toes, get out of my face!
Sorry.
Is there anyone staring back at us other than a dog doing a poo? Tanya, can you seriously try to stop him doing it? I'm trying to concentrate on being wistful and contemplate our existence in this universe, and all you... Oh my God, it's
is floating. What?
Now, Boo. Good boy.
Oof.
Oh my god, that's where the house key went. I was looking for that for weeks. Couldn't get in for a couple of days, actually.
Are we going to wash that? Oh, please, just put that poo bag in the fuel system. It stinks in here now. Oh, see, why has no one invented stenchless poo and soundless planes? Hmm? And don't get me started on lawnmowers. Anyways, where was I? Yes, wistful. And us, me and Tanya, Twinkle Toes, Naboo, and my one ridiculously freakishly long chin hair. Well, if you look up, you might see us. We're like a blue flash speeding across the sky because we're going so fast. See, we've just fired up the combustion fuel injection wording conglomerators.
The what?
The combustion fuel injection wording conglomerators. Yes, it's where our words go in, just in here.
Into that microphone.
Uh-huh. And they pushed fuel out to power the engines right there, next to the emergency lawnmower and toaster power behind us, somewhere there.
How does it do that? Words power rockets?
Uh-huh. Science?
Science. That's all you got.
I mean, isn't that amazing? We're orbiting Earth, cruising in increasing speed by the power of voice as fuel at the moment, as we speak, because we speak. I mean, sound-fueled rocket ships. I'm genius. I knew voice acting would come in handy for something. Where are we over now, Tanya?
Seriously? You're asking me to look out the window, Sarah?
Sorry. I forgot, because you're so... But you can see some things, can't you? I mean, it's not complete blindness, is it?
No, not complete blindness. Just enough to get me into trouble.
You are always trouble, pal.
Hey, can I use a telescope? I might be able to see something with that. Or a microscope, maybe? No, that wouldn't work. I can see blackness out there in space. So that means there's nothing there. No obstacles, which means I can pilot this thing. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Okay. Well...
You could ask me, Twinkle Toes.
Will you stop floating up on me? No, I don't want to ask you. Thank you. Go there. And we could maybe ask Naboo. Does he communicate in barks?
Bark! Woof! Bark!
Oh, you seem to be the first dog to be walking on the moon.
Who's my lovely little guy dog? Who is? Oh, the boo!
Woof!
Who's my lovely little guy dog? Who is?
I didn't tell you I was allergic, did I? To dogs.
Only a few thousand times.
Well, at least my voice stayed the same this time. Did you hear that episode of We Fix Space Junk where I was...
Season 2, yeah. Episode 7. Yep. Hiccup. Change voice. Fun.
Oh, he's scratching there again. He hasn't brought fleas with him, has he?
Sarah, don't be crazy. You were scratching there too.
Yeah, that's eczema, though, isn't it? It's different. Sorry, Naboo. I know you're a gorgeous little fellow, aren't you? You're so lovely little doggy. You are. Oh, yeah, he's scratching again. That reminds me, we had this brilliant wedding script from Maya Peace, age 9, from England. Do you want to hear it?
Maya Peace?
Yeah.
What a beautiful name.
To protect the innocent. Oh, this is a great one. You'll love it.
The Fleas by 9-year-old Maya Peace. Narrated by Mads Upton.
Sunday, the 19th of November, 1969.
Dear Diary, today the Fleas, dressed from head to toe in blinding white pajamas, with a metal, cylindrical, foreign object, I prefer to nickname them CFOs, strapped to them, landed on me again, leaving a small crater on my body. I was scared of what they would do next, and indeed tried to shake them off, but not to any avail. Instead, I was orbiting Earth, where they originated from, whilst acting terrified. They tortured me, setting up a pointy and sharp stick with paper on the end. It had embroidered red and white stripes on it, but a quarter was with white stars, with a deep blue background. So it made me think of my beloved Holman's face, being invaded by these strange people. They also thought I was a place for them to live on, their rocky bed. It was horrible listening to them loudly snoring. I have negative feelings about this scenario. I am in pain. The fleas think I'm inhabited by aliens, which may be true. They are unbelievably annoying. I am not to be used as a sleeping bag, and I am just fed up with them coming here once every couple of years. They have disrupted my somewhat peaceful life, in which I am perfectly content without constant interruptions for 6 months straight. Next time, I'll bring out my cannons. They'll be sure to do fatal damage to the internal organs of the fleas, not to mention the oxygen tanks of those fairly big needles they ride, in comparison to me.
Ah, the moon has feelings.
According to Miss Peace, yes.
Cool.
Speaking of which, my foot's gone to sleep. I think I need a little walk on it whilst we listen to the next moonalogue, that's right.
Moonalogue. Love that.
Yeah, I think it was coined by Karen Heimdall, who incidentally wrote this next piece. It's fun times. Right, I'm off for a walk. I'm gonna floaty walk.
For all of 3 foot that way?
Yeah.
You've got 2 feet already.
Yeah, 3 foot this way is another woman's 4,700 million plus infinity mile journey the other way, I guess. can you play them the thingy? If it's loud enough, might wake up my foot.
Well, of course. Here you go, folks. This is a moon monologue by Karen Heindahl. Valen is a woman of color and a specialist, a mining engineer. She's in her mid-30s. This scene takes place in a mining base located at the south pole of the moon sometime in the late 2070s. Ooh! Will we still be alive then? Sarah? Sarah? Oh. She's gone.
She's behind you.
Oh my god, he's so sinister. How is he a child's toy? Yes, I am behind you. And yes, I hope to be alive in the 2070s. Yes, I'm aiming to get a telegram from my king one day.
Elvis is dead.
I mean, the future king of England.
Oh, yes, a telegram. How quaint. Won't that be lovely?
Chaika by Karen Heindahl. Narrated by Angelique Lazarus.
Today, I watched my daughter skip along the Mare Cognitum, braids jumping inside her spacesuit. I watched her skipping by the sea of knowledge, knowing so much and yet so little. She is so strong and sure and brave and trusting. I want to protect her from all the dangers of the world and make her life easy and fun and safe, but I know that I cannot. She turned and looked at me, just for a second, mischief glinting in her brown eyes. Before she started running in zigzags, creating tracks, lunar dust slowly swirling up around her. I could hear her laughter through the comm. She ran up to me, and I lifted her up and swung her around like I used to do when she was 3. I might have struggled a little doing that now, back on Earth, but moon gravity means I'll probably still be able to do it when she's 18. I was the first woman on the moon. I took my first step here on August 27, 2069, and I never left. One small step for womankind, right? Though there was no broadcast, no media attention, no pithy, well-chosen words. 100 years after Neil Armstrong planted his flag, and here was I, just an engineer sent to man, to woman, in fact, a one-person mining base. Everyone lost interest in the moon once Mars became a viable option with the successful Mars mission in 2024. What was that, sweetie? Yes, go out and play if you want. Just stay in the protected zone. No, Mommy has to finish this. Yes, you go. Don't forget to pee before you get into your suit. Love you too, sweetheart. I am so lucky to have her.
I never thought I wanted a kid, and for a long time I was so happy on my own. But it was written into my contract with CosmoCorps that as I was away on an indefinite mission during my reproductive years, I could request sperm if I wished to procreate. And I thought about it more and more. About bringing up a kid in this place. About if I would be any good at this parenting thing. About if I could stand not trying. In the end, I realized I couldn't. Stand it, that is. So I requested some sperm. And in the next supply crate, there were 5 vials from 5 different men. No clue who they are. Or were, I suppose. I got pregnant on the 3rd try. I was fortunate to have a pretty uncomplicated pregnancy. I only realized after I actually got pregnant and did some proper research how dangerous even normal pregnancies are, and what absolute lunacy, pun definitely intended, it was to even consider being pregnant and give birth all on my own. Of course, the contract was not drawn up by someone with a uterus, let alone someone who had actually given birth, so what did they know? It was horrible. But we both survived, and she was such a happy and easy baby. Good thing, because I still had to do my job. Mining on the moon is fairly automated, though, so it worked out all right. I remember reading about the first women astronauts and how they got these ridiculous questions about how they were supposedly abandoning their husbands and children, and if they weren't afraid they would get hysterical, hate that word, and not be able to control their emotions once in space. I guess some things change, but plus ça change, right? And now, I have been debating whether I should send this out into the void. I should send something. And it might as well be this, I suppose.
I am hoping it reaches someone. Hoping it reaches the Mars colony, really, but if not, just someone. Anyone. Earth is silent. It has been 182 days since our final supply crate, and 164 days since our last communication with Earth. What I see from here is terrifying. I think there was a nuclear war in the end. From what I could piece together, the global governance of Tellus broke down, and the various factions descended into all-out war in a matter of weeks. There must be survivors, right? They're probably in bunkers, hiding out until it's safe to go to the surface. Yeah, that must be it. We're okay. We can manage with the greenhouse and the animals. The supply crates were mostly for things like medicine and clothes and entertainment and mining equipment. And I have a stockpile of medicine and clothing that should last us at least 10 years if we're careful. Entertainment, we can do without. Mining equipment is redundant now, of course. Why mine for titanium when no one's there to buy it? I have better things to do with my time. But it would be nice to know we're not alone. To know there is a possibility we could meet someone else at some point. So, if you hear this, let us know, all right? Thanks. Chayka, wait right there. I'm coming out to play.
Oh, I love these mummy-daughter stories. I mean, just look. I mean, just look at the Earth from here. I mean, think about all those people. Just like, you know, from 24 when they put all the different pictures of things. And then imagine, like, loads of those. And it's mind-blowing, isn't it? There's no borders, no segregation of vegetation. There's just one big old bluesy, whitey, greeny, browny, gorgeous world. I mean, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Beautiful.
It's quite nice.
Oh my god. How can you even see? You're a toy robot. Is this thing actually alive?
No.
Yes.
Freaky. Yeah. Oh, did you see the Earth from Space episodes by the BBC? That's amazing. Seriously, I mean, it's nearly as good as this view, except I can't zoom in and see little baby elephants just flashing in the mud. Oh, hang on. my phone's ringing, sorry.
You can still get a signal?
Yeah, that's weird, because we're right over a black spot in the south of England where I never get a signal. Oh, look, it's Fiona. Hello?
Sarah, hello.
Hello.
I thought we were meant to meet in the pub for our planning session.
Who
are
is
you
it?
On your way?
Bum.
Who is it?
It's Fiona Thrale of Dashing Onions. I was meant to meet her for a little...
Hello, Fiona!
Hello,
how you doing?
Yeah.
So, sorry, Fiona, I'm going to be late.
By how long? I can get a later train.
Hang on. Tanya. How long does it take to get to the moon? Have a quick lie down and a chill, maybe a game of tennis, jump off some hills, bury some treasure and maybe twinkle toes here, and then get back home.
I'd bury you first.
I don't doubt it.
Probably like 6 to 8 days? Because it's like 340,000 miles or more?
So, Fiona, yes, I'll be about 6 days.
What? You won't be here for 6 days?
Yes. Yeah, because I've just got to travel 348,000 miles and then back to the...
Oh, I can't wait that long. I've got to pick my daughter up in 2 hours. Sarah, where exactly are you and Tanya and Twinkle Toes?
So how did you know Twinkle Toes was here?
Oh, I sense his dark presence.
Ah, Fiona. Long time no speak.
No, probably for the best.
Yeah, he's weird, isn't he? Well, you're never going to believe this, but we're on our way to the moon.
Oh, that's exciting. The real moon?
Yeah, of course. Is there another one?
I'm not at liberty to say. So, how on earth did you swing that one?
Oh, long story. David Alt helped with his astrophysics. He helped us create this ship. And while the rest was sheer tenacity and really stupid experiments with solder ions. Actually, whilst you're here, do you want to perform a monologue for us? Because words, they fuel the rocket, you see. And you speak so beautifully.
Oh, sure. What's it called and who's it by?
Well, the next one's called Darkness by... Oh, that's handy.
Oh, exciting. Here we go. Are you sitting comfortably?
It's hard to sit in space, Fiona.
Ignore him.
Yep.
Oh, you have a dog.
That's not my dog.
It's Nabu.
Yes.
He wants to hear your story. Don't you, boy?
Marvellous. Then I'll begin.
Darkness. By Fiona Thrale. Narrated by Fiona Thrale. My people, what I have to say to you today, it's not an easy speech. It's not a speech about how well our economy's doing. It's not a speech about our creation of 2,000 new jobs last week. I've already told you all about that. No. This is a hard speech because it is deeply personal to me. Even leaders like me were once children, whatever the press might say. Children who grew up reading about world history. Children who grew up reading about humanity's achievements, who were inspired by the incredible scientific breakthroughs that preceded our lives on this planet. For me, one of the greatest accomplishments of the existence of the human race was us reaching the moon. I'm a bit too young to have seen it happen live on TV, but like pretty much all of you, I saw that very famous footage, the first steps on that dusty surface of our nighttime friend. In that moment, I remember the sense of excitement I felt. If we could walk on the moon, well, we could reach anywhere. Have you seen that rocket they went up in, those brave astronauts? If we could put something together like that in the 1960s, then what can we do now? And that's why this is so hard to tell you all the truth. But you need to know it. You deserve to know it, so that you can act upon it. The moon landings never happened. Not because there were no moon landings, but because there is no moon. I appreciate that you're wondering about the sanity of your president right now. And believe me, I would prefer for me to be insane than for this to be the truth. But truth it is, and you deserve to hear it. For many years now, this country's top scientists have been concerned by the movements of the moon, its constant nocturnal presence above our country's streets. But now, using cutting-edge analysis, those top scientists have found the moon to be the most sophisticated artificial construction of espionage we have ever known. An all-seeing, self-illuminating recording device, scouring our country when you and I are in our beds, unaware of this aggressive surveillance. We are still awaiting official verification of its origins, so I call on you all now not to jump to conclusions about our neighbours and fellow citizens. You understand, this involves fake news on an unprecedented level. Our enemies literally rewriting the history books to include mentions of this planetary body, to make us feel as if it has always been with us, as if it has deep roots in our poetry, in our art, in our science. So please, my people, I implore you, be patient with us while we finalize our conclusions, and trust in us that this will be met with the absolute full force of our defensive services. In the meantime, for your protection, we are instating martial law with immediate effect. There will be a countrywide curfew 20 minutes before dusk every evening until sunrise. My dear people, I know that the vast, vast majority of you will be glad to cooperate in this. I promise you that we will deal with this as fast as possible, and unless you're a spy trying to make contact with your people via the moon systems, this will not affect your life at all. To hasten this process even more, my people, I'd like us all to look around us. Are there people we might know who appear to follow patterns of the moon's surveillance? Someone in your street who goes on business trips each month? Perhaps even a family member who claims to mysteriously bleed in the same moon phase every month? Once again, this is not aimed at the vast majority of us all. There are a tiny minority of moon agents walking among us. They are the few. We are the many. And we will crush them. We will make our country safe once more. But it will take us coming together to seek out those who threaten our privacy, who pry into our very souls with their fake so-called moonlight. I ask you to trust me like I trust you. And in return, I promise you that I will bring our country back to the natural, calm nights, the natural darkness that is our ancestors. Bring back our night. Bring back our darkness.
Whoa. Is that real?
Love that. You should be a president, Fiona.
President?
Seriously. You're a natural.
She'd ruin everything.
Oh.
President of a very tiny planet, maybe. I'd love that. I promise to do only nice things and obviously not abuse my power in any way or invade places or do anything bad.
Oh, we're losing the signal.
I cut her off.
This is the end of part 1 of 3 of the Moonalogue sessions. Join us next time for part 2. Thank you to Tanya Milojevic for accompanying Sarah Golding on this perilous mission. And thank you to our winning monologues in this episode, Moon by Hayden Davis, narrated by Tanya Milojevic, The Moon Franchise That Never Was by J. Christian Ellett, and performed by James Oliva, Fleas by Maya Pierce, narrated by Madison Upton, Chaika by Karen Heimdall, narrated by Angelique Lazarus, Darkness, written and narrated by Fiona Thrill. Thank you to our narrator, Brett Maskell-Watts, and thank you to Carl Lausanne for their beautiful music you're listening to right now. And huge thanks again to all of the Quirky Voices Patreon supporters who honestly encouraged and made this happen. Check out quirkyvoices at weebly.com for more information about upcoming quirky fun. Tune in for the next exciting episode coming soon. Huzzahs for the moon and all who have stood upon it. Happy listening, happy adventuring, and goodbye for now.